Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it is treating you good. We certainly are going to. Happy May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo.
You were going to say May the 5th. You can't. It's only May the 4th.
It's.
You can't put the thought in the 5th.
No, I can't. Okay. May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo,
only the 4th.
Everybody. Hope you, yeah, I get what you're saying. We're going to have some fun today. I think I know why that happened, too, because we have a Star Wars story to start off, actually.
Oh, there you go.
But we're going to have some fun stuff this morning. We're going to get into some entertainment news to kick things off. A little bit later, that ain't right stories. Good stories of the day. Local good stories of the day. Get an update from our United Way and touch on our schedule over the weekend a little bit. All that in store for you. We kick things off with some entertainment news. And, yesterday, of course, was May the 4th. Be with you, Star Wars Day and all that. Well, more importantly than that, yesterday, Carrie Fisher got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame posthumously.
Yeah.
Her daughter Billie Lord was there to accept it along with Mark Hamill. She joins Mark and Harrison Ford with stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It would have been nice to see this happen while she was alive. It is still meaningful that it happened.
There's so many honors and awards that I feel like are like that.
Yeah.
Like, why not do it when the person's still alive?
Yes.
I understand
and I were talking
that
about
sometimes
this.
It just is what it is. But it just, I don't know.
We just got to stop taking this stuff so darn serious. I mean, it's entertainment.
Well, and
it's not meant to be
for that person.
Yeah.
Then let's do it while the person can be, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like while
yes.
they can be part of the appreciation.
The ceremony took place, of course, yesterday on May the 4th, while widely known as Star Wars Day, which the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce on Thursday also declared Carrie Fisher Day in Hollywood as Fisher's star was unveiled.
Cool.
Her daughter, who is just a great actress herself and a very, very cool person, I think, she wore a Princess Leia dress.
That's awesome. Looks like R2-D2 was there also.
Yeah, R2 and C-3PO were there along with Mark Hamill. Mark looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
God, he looks good. That's
Isn't
not
that crazy?
Fair. Yeah. And just wanted to shout that out. I thought that was really cool. It was a nice thing to see. If you're interested, if you're a fan of any of them, encourage you to go ahead and be sure to check that out. We were touching on this earlier this week. Ed Sheeran was about to walk away from music, like, period.
Yeah.
I don't think people understood how serious he was about this. He's not in this for ego or the money. Like, a little bit of ego is how you get hear about any of us.
Sure.
So I'm not saying that he's completely dormant of it, but this is not a guy who comes from riches or anything like that.
And not a head case, like,
no,
about...
No,
yeah.
This
yeah,
is
yeah.
a guy who, he is one of the better lyricists at giving you what's in his heart on page.
And he's
that.
Really good at it.
He's
like,
very,
I
very
really
good
like
at
that
it.
About
I'd
him.
See it at Sheeran concert.
Oh,
I'd
me
love
too.
To see him in concert. I think it'd be cool. And the idea of him walking away from music should have woken a lot of people up, because there is a war going on. I hate it when people use its analogies. It's not a war. War is war. There is a fight going on right now with production companies, with these people that own these copyrights of this music, and people who want to own their own music, who want to own their own creations. Then there is another battle going on with people who, like artists, that they inherited this music. They didn't create it. They weren't even alive when it was made, but they are so-and-so's 13th cousin or whatever,
and
then
they're
going
to fight for it.
Yeah. And so this battle was going on between not Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye has passed us a long time ago, people. It's Marvin Gaye, the people that own his music now, were suing Ed because they felt that Let's Get It On sounded, there were familiarity and notes taken from that for Thinking Out Loud. I have listened to more Marvin Gaye than almost anybody in the universe, and I've heard Thinking Out Loud because I have a radio plenty of times. Not one time did I ever think, wow, that reminds me of this.
Me either.
Would have never combined those two,
like,
without this story.
When this first came to light, you know, where they were kind of pursuing this, I was like, wait, because I am a big Ed Sheeran fan. So I'm like, wait a minute, what? You know, like I had to, and then I thought, is this a track of his that I don't know? Like, I don't see,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I am not a trained musician, mm-hmm. but I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't take plagiarism lightly. I don't take Marvin Gaye's career lightly. He's my favorite male singer of all time. I like Ed Sheeran. I love Marvin Gaye. I would be the first to defend Marvin Gaye on this. It ain't right. This isn't right. They did not sound anything alike, and a jury agreed with us. Ed Sheeran doesn't have to retire from music. A jury ruled yesterday that Thinking Out Loud is not a ripoff of Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On, but he wasn't exactly in the mood to celebrate after the verdict. He said, quote, I'm unbelievably frustrated the basis of the claims like this are allowed to go to court at all. We've spent the last 8 years talking about two songs with dramatically different lyrics, melodies, and four chords, which are also different and are used by songwriters every day all around the world. They've got seven notes to play with, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect?
I can't believe it's been going on that long.
Yeah. While this was going on, this was flooding up our courts where other things could not be done. These are judges. These are attorneys that are being taken up. Yeah. And it's not only a waste of time, waste of our judicial system. It ain't right. Like,
but in this instance, it did go through all of that and all of that time. And it's still, well, yes, he didn't leave there celebrating, but it did prove, right, that what's right is right. Yeah. And he didn't, you know, he stood by his conviction, and that was right for him to do that.
The bogus claims of plagiarism, you can't just throw things like that around. He missed, because of this trial, he missed his grandmother's funeral in Ireland because he had to be in New York for the trial. Like, these people don't understand what they're affecting when they throw these things into the court system sometimes. Good for him. Good to see that this happened. Dollywood is where we go next.
All right.
Would you go to Dollywood?
Would I?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I have not been there, but I would absolutely go.
Dolly Parton's Dollywood is launching its longest roller coaster ever next week on the 12th. It's called Big Bear Mountain and has over 3,990 feet of track. The ride lasts for almost 2 minutes and a maximum speed of 48 miles per hour. It's unclear if Dolly got to ride it yet or not. I would pay to see Dolly Parton riding a roller coaster. I would pay good money for that. Yes. I just think it'd be funny. I know what you're thinking, Terry, and it just occurred to me, too. I did not think of it before I started this sentence, but now I'm realizing it. Yes. And still be funny. It'd be cool to see.
I would actually really like to visit there.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it looks really cool. And I like roller coasters, so.
It's in Tennessee, right? It's in near Memphis or something like that?
I think Pigeon Forge. I don't know how close to Memphis that is, but yes, it is Tennessee.
It is in Tennessee. Dollywood is in. Yep, you're right. Pigeon Ford, Tennessee. Okay,
but yeah, I don't know the exact proximity. You know, I mean, of where that is to major cities.
Yeah,
but
but
close to Gatlinburg.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking I really want to check out Nashville and Memphis. I mean, I'm already over there. Why not go ahead and
there you go. Yeah. Do the loop.
Yeah. Looking at what's new on your small screen and new on your big screen this weekend, the series premiere of Silo, starring Rebecca Ferguson, one of those post-apocalyptic things, is going to be on Apple TV Plus. The MTV Movie and TV Awards are this weekend. I had no idea they were. It will air without host Drew Barrymore. She is showing solidarity for the writer's strike, so she is not going to be a part of it. I admire that and appreciate that from Drew. I'm a little surprised that they're still having it, but at the same time, I mean, how much writing was involved in that anyway? I mean, come on. It's, you know, I'm not trying to be mean. I just, you know, let's be honest about it.
Reality.
They weren't sitting there like four writers in a room, like writing Shakespeare or anything. It is what it is. Go ahead and have it anyway. And who even knew? Like, I didn't even know. Like, we touched on this earlier this week. Completely forgot. Right now, in the moment, I'm just realizing, oh, this is still happening this weekend. Like, this used to be a cultural event.
Yeah.
It used to be something like, as kids, when we were growing up, you didn't miss this stuff. You know, you caught it if you could. Interesting. Sunday at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock on ABC, American Idol goes on. We have the 21st season finale of Family Guy this Sunday. And The Company You Keep is also wrapping up. That is new on your small screen. What about the big screen, though? Got a big hit coming out this weekend. A couple of other movies as well. Just two in wide. Well, one is in limited release, Love Again. That is about a woman grieving the death of her fiancé. To cope, she sends romantic texts to this cell phone number, but soon learns that his number has been reassigned.
Oh,
so that could be
interesting.
A modern
could
love
also
tale.
Be scary.
Yes, I'm not sure which way it goes or not. I'm not sure. The big one hitting theaters. It already hit theaters. It broke
last
midnight.
Last night, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, rated PG-13. This is the final movie in the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy. And this one, the Guardians are attacked, which leaves Rocket near death and all this. I don't want to think about that.
I've got Guardian fans in my house.
Same here.
Major.
I'm a big one myself. This is the last time we're going to see most of these characters. Last time we're going to see the actors playing these characters with the main four, I should say. Main four or five, though. Dave Bautista has already retired, said he's retiring as Dax. He's actually being rumored to play some other characters in the DC universe now. And like with the rest of the cast, they are hopeful that these characters will continue, just other actors playing them.
Sure.
I do want to send a quick shout out to Bradley Cooper. Not a traditional voice actor. Man, has he done great with that Rocket character.
Yeah.
He is so much... I like the movies. I think they're okay, and I'm a superhero guy. Rocket is my favorite thing about them. And easily, by far and away... Groot's cool. I like Groot. And shout out to Vin Diesel. Does a nice job with that character and everything. But man, Bradley Cooper's voice acting with that role has been top notch. Like 10 out of 10.
So, okay, I have to, since we're talking big screen, I have to tell you, last week, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret came out. And I had told you that, I'm like, ugh, I had such a busy weekend, I didn't know if I'd fit it in. Well, I did fit it in.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Was it?
So if if you are familiar with the Judy Blume book, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, it is... It's good.
I imagine it's been a long time since you read the book. Did they have references to the book? They call them Easter eggs. Did they reference?
I would say, definitely.
Good,
but it has been a long time since I've read the book.
Because
as I was sitting in there with a friend of mine, I'm like, I know I got to read the book again. You know, because, I mean, we were quite young. But if you, especially if you were a teenage girl in the 70s, 80s, I mean, you have to go. It was fabulous.
My mom it was such a proponent of Judy Blume and made sure my sister read it. I read some Judy Blume growing up. Like, incredible author. Very good author. And cool to see. It's really cool to see right now. One of the things, the movie's been doing very well. It's been doing well. It's going to have a nice box office success. I think the coolest part about this, the rise of her book sales have gone up.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Because I said that. So when we got home from the movie, I was like, "Oh, I'm just going to log into the library and reserve it."
Yeah.
And I was like number 250 on 12 copies or something.
That's awesome.
Then I was like, then I jumped on Amazon. I'm like, "Oh, or I could just get it for $12.50 and have it delivered." You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is, I think it is really cool, but it just
that's great to hear.
Family, I mean, fun-loving, friendly,
You got Kathy Bates. You got some great actors.
And the girl who plays Margaret, and I don't recall her name, but she was fabulous.
She was good. I believe it's her big break. I think it's her first role. Big role. Yeah.
She did good.
Great review. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. This is director James Gunn's final Marvel project before he moves over to DC Studios completely. He also created 600 unique versions of it to give moviegoers a custom experience in any type of theater configuration. That is very cool.
That is really cool.
Takes a lot of work.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Way more than probably necessary.
This is who James Gunn is. He is all about the fans. He is all about, like, it takes a little longer, it's going to take a little longer. It's got to be right, or I'm not doing it. I admire his work so much. Even if I don't like a movie, I can see the detail. I can see the respect to the fan base and stuff. He is going to do good at DC. I think he's going to do just fine in charge of DC. And I think if you're a DC fan, you got a lot to look forward to here. This is a great way to send off the Guardians. It should be a good movie. Looking forward to seeing it. And I imagine it is going to do gangbusters in the box office. It is going to be really, really well. We will take a break. When we come back, wedding season is upon us, and we have the top 10 country songs for our first dance for you. That's coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, hanging out. Hope you're having a great Friday out there, getting you ready for your weekend, and getting you ready for wedding season. We're heading into it, and according to The Knot, and I believe that's a website, theknot.com.
Yes.
They mostly happen, that's a great name for a website, for a wedding website.
Yeah, you can do, like, registry on there. You can do your wedding invite. You can do, like, you set up your own URL for your wedding. So you have, like, a... wedding, website, a wedding page.
That's awesome. And that's a really good name for a site. The Knot, they mostly happen between May and November. And if you're getting one, if you're getting married, here's some inspiration. Tasteofcountry.com ranked the top best country songs for a first dance. We have the top 10 for you. I'm going to start at number 10.
I'm going to see if mine's on there.
Okay.
All right. But it's been 21 years, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Number 10, I Believe in You from Don Williams.
Oh, I love that song.
I'm not familiar with that one. Oh. I'm not familiar. Maybe I know it and I just don't know
yeah,
I know it.
Yeah, I think you know it. I believe in love. I believe in babies.
Yeah, I know that one. That's a good song. That's a good song.
That's
a good
song. I don't necessarily, but see, for me, I don't necessarily pull that as a wedding song in my mind. But I, that's a super sweet song.
That is a good one. Could I Have This Dance by Anne Murray?
Oh, I like that. You know that one.
Yeah,
I do. Could I Have This Dance for the Rest of My Life?
That one. Yeah.
And I've heard that at several weddings. I like that song.
That's a good one. Let me see here. Number 8 on the list, Then by Brad Paisley.
Oh, that that's a good one too. More newer, obviously, than the last two.
I wouldn't have thought of that one right away, but now that I'm hearing it, I'm thinking of, I know the song a little bit. Okay, I like that one. It's interesting to see, like, already some of these names here. Like, I'm already a little kind
Well, and I think the Brad Paisley one is kind of, you know, talking about milestones through life and, you know, I thought I loved you then. It's kind of that appreciation and how love deepens and grows as you experience things together.
Yeah. Let's see here. Number 7, Bless the Broken Road by Rascal Flatts.
Yeah, that one, that was huge when that came out.
Yes.
I mean, that was that. And you do still hear that at lots of weddings.
Oh, yeah. It's Your Love by Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Absolutely. I like that song.
But I
like them.
Yeah. And boy, the way they sound together. I know that they're married and all that. But I mean, still, they sound really good together.
So before they were married, we saw them at, they were at Hodeg. Separately, like they were each performing, but it was kind of like when it was just rumored that they were dating. And she was either, I don't know if she was married or engaged to someone like her manager or something regard. But then these two are, and during, she had already performed earlier in the day, and then he was late, you know, more of a headliner. And then he brought her out to sing with him, and it was like this, it was like this thing, you know.
And you got to see it live.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome.
It was really cool.
That is really cool. That's very cool. Number 5, Amazed by Lone Star. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that one. Yeah. Even I know that one. Yeah. And I imagine that would be a great. So when we're talking about this, this is, you know, the top 10 country songs for a first dance.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
So the first dance as bride and groom.
Right. Because I thought, because I'm a dad, immediately, and I am not thinking
father-daughter dance, you're thinking.
Immediately, I'm like, I'm not sure about something. Okay, all right, now it makes more sense. Now I'm getting it a little bit better. I was looking at this way too personal. Number 4, When I Said I Do by Clint Black and his wife, Lisa Hartman Black.
Yeah, I like that. I love Clint Black.
There's something about the way that man sings. Uh-huh. Like, it is... It feels like every letter of every syllable you get. Like, you get the whole...
I agree.
I feel like a lot of times, especially in traditional country music, you get a little bit of this. Where the last breath of the sentence isn't always given to you or something. I love Clint Black is so, like, very... Like, I feel like you get every lyric on that page from him. You hear every lyric. You can understand every lyric.
He's one that, you know, if I'm flipping through and all of a sudden one of his songs is on, it stays. I don't know. He just... I like him. He's got some staying power for me.
Such an amazing career, too.
Yeah.
Number 3, In Case You Didn't Know by Brett Young. Don't know that one.
Oh, that's pretty popular. You know, probably like, I don't know for sure, maybe like the last 10 years.
Okay.
But it's maybe not that old. But and you might know it actually if you heard it.
I'm pretty sure, you know.
Yeah. I mean, no surprise to me that would be number 3 or even higher.
Number 2, Die a Happy Man by Thomas Rhett. Don't know that one either.
Huh. I know that one, but I don't know that I would put that as a... I mean, I visualize first dance as a slow dance.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It isn't like a fast song, but it's kind of an in-betweener. You know, one of those hard to dance to songs.
Oh, that makes it very... Yeah, that's a little confusing then, I would say. And number 1 on the list, When You Say Nothing at All from the wonderful, the great, the legend, Alison Krauss.
Awesome.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. I love that song. I will dance to or listen to Alison Krauss all day.
Yeah. Love her. This is a pretty all-star list.
Nice job.
So
nice
ours list. Was I Cross My Heart from George Strait.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, and that's when Pure Country, that movie came out. So that was, you know, it was very popular then the year that we got married. But that was definitely, that was our... wedding song.
Nice. I like that. That's a good song. That was a good choice. That's beautiful. I like that. I would say so. I don't have, my ex-wife and I, we got married at the courthouse, had a little reception, didn't really have too much or a first dance or any of those things. So I don't really have a reference for this, but my daughter, Bria, has a wedding coming up next year that I'm going to be attending, and she was talking to me about it, and she, this was a couple months ago, she messaged me and asked me if I knew this Cat Stevens song. And I'm like, yeah, I know Cat Stevens. I know a little bit of his music. I did work in classic rock for 10 years. I know some of it and everything. And I'm teasing her back and forth because I'm not sure where this is going. And she asked me what I think about the song, If You Want to Sing Out, Sing Out. And I'm like, yeah, I know that song. It's a very cool song. It's a pretty song and stuff. She's like, well, I think that should be the song we dance to.
Oh, cool.
And I can't even say the sentence out loud because it just, I'm so happy and I just, it feels so good to be able to,
that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. But I think that's why my brain was going immediately to
for sure.
the daughter, dad dance and the kind of thing and stuff.
But really cool and very thoughtful on her part. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not just like, hey, grab a song.
Well, and I love this part of it too, that I don't know if anybody else would pick up on. Again, check mark for me and my child here. I'm a planner. I like to think things through. I like to have things set up. I mean, her wedding, at this point, she's telling me is almost a year and a half away. And she's planning this stuff. She's like, that's my kid.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's awesome. Looking forward to that. But I think that when it comes to that first dance, shouldn't it, like that song, I don't mean to pry here or anything, but it sounds like it meant something to Randy and you. The first song for the couple should have a little meaning to it too, right? Like it doesn't matter. Maybe some guests are listening like, why are they dancing to that song? But if it means something to you guys, go ahead and dance.
Oh, sure. Like, what if it was the song, something like that brought you back to your first date? Or
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it matters. I think as long as it's meaningful. I mean, when this still comes on, we'll be driving somewhere and it'll come on and I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
And it just, I think, and who cares, right? It's about the two of you.
Absolutely.
And if that's a song that's meaningful, then do it.
Yeah. I don't care if it's the Macarena. Like, it's your song. Like, you met and you saw each other and the stars fall and all this stuff when Macarena was playing. Go ahead and dance to Macarena. I don't care. Like, it's your song. It's your moment.
I think as long as it's nothing that makes your guests, because these are your guests, right? Like you're still hosting. As long as it's nothing that makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Then go with it.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out? Probably not a good one.
Or like, let's get it on. Or, yes, I don't know. Play that later during the reception. Later when you're not on display.
Well, now this is why I should not get married. Because now the mischievous part of me and everything is thinking, well actually, this would be kind of fun.
You know what made me think of that? I actually one time was at a funeral. And like the grandmas who died and the granddaughter, they had a very strong relationship. And this young lady clearly had some struggles that grandma was, really helped her through. But then they played a song at the funeral, and it was like, I was like, oh, because I didn't know the backstory.
You're right.
And it's fine. It was about their grieving. I was just there supporting someone else. You know what I mean? I didn't even know the deceased. But it was very awkward.
A little context would go a long way.
And people around me clearly didn't know either.
Yeah,
and it was like, what is happening?
You got to fill people in on that one.
So,
you got to give context.
Or have it as a private moment.
Mm-hmm. A
little crazy.
A little private moment wouldn't be bad either. We're going to take a break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back. That ain't right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more fun coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. I knew the first lyric. That's it. Great singer-songwriter. Terry and James here with you. We're going to have some fun taking you up to the top of the hour. Got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day we want to get to. All of that coming up. Right now, I think this is interesting, and AI is in every conversation now.
People what is that?
People talk about it so often. I think that's a good thing you asked that, Terry, because I have had listeners ask me before, well, what does this mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, fair enough.
Artificial intelligence is what we're talking about. And have you ever heard the term phantom traffic jam? It's when some fool slams on the brakes and there's a domino effect where everyone behind them hits their brakes too. It can cause a mini traffic jam for no good reason.
It happens constantly on highways.
Wait, so the front person's doing it on purpose? Just to be a butt or what?
No, no. I think it's, you know, it is a distraction or they see something or they forget their turn.
It's
or
a legitimate
something.
Reason for hitting the brakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that maybe sometimes it happens where it's just a knucklehead, but God help us, hopefully not too often.
Okay.
It happens a lot on highways, but again, it's often, you know, driver error, these kind of things. Researchers at Berkeley and Vanderbilt worked with a team at Nissan, and they installed an AI cruise control in more than 100 cars and unleashed them on the highways near Nashville, which is notoriously a bit of a rougher area, stretch of area to drive.
Yeah, it's not great.
It uses software that predicts when congestion ahead will let up and automatically slows you down a little bit. So instead of getting caught in it and coming to a full stop, you get there just as everyone's moving again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A little scary.
Yeah. They found that even when a few cars have it, they can have a big impact. For each car with AI cruise control, 20 other cars around it saw a positive effect. They say if car companies start offering it as a feature, it could help with traffic, save you time, cut down on accidents, and make cars burn less fuel.
So they kind of communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Your cruise controls.
It seems like it, yes. Which, if that's the case, then you're kind of hoping all other vehicles on the road are the same as your vehicle or whatever.
Or have that same technology.
Have, at least have the
I
same
mean,
technology.
I understand that it senses it. Well, even, you know, honestly... I don't know if you've been on any road trips lately, but one thing about, like, if you use Google Maps, it'll show you where there's congestion because the road changes color.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, if it's moving slower, it'll be like an orangey color, mm-hmm. or if the traffic's actually stopped, it's red. Mm-hmm. But it at least gives you, you know, a little bit of a heads up that you know that this is coming up ahead. And it doesn't work everywhere. Of course, that's satellite, and it just depends, you know, how strong that is in that area. But I always think that's actually kind of cool. But this would be weird. I'd have trouble trusting it.
Yep.
You know, that it's going to do the slowing down. But that's with any, for me, any assisted feature, you know, where they have brake assist or they have even parallel parking where it'll park for you. I always think that's so weird.
I'm just not there yet.
Me either.
I don't have anything against AI. I think that it can be very useful. I think it's got a place in society. And I do think that we got to get comfortable with it because we're just going to be seeing more of it and everything. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm not one of these people that is overly worried about AI taking over the creative world. I think that when it comes down to it, creatives are always going to be better than in a computer system. And I do worry. I don't take lightly it taking jobs. That certainly worries me. But I'm weird about AI in vehicles. I on one side, I don't know how much human beings have earned driving. Like, when you think about, like, how many deaths there are, how many accidents there are, all these things, and as a proponent to how many vehicles are on the road, I feel like we need to do a better job about, you know, DUIs and these kind of things, and OUIs and this stuff, and I think that we could use a little tinkering with some of that stuff. But that being said, I still trust a human being more than a computer.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, as it pertains to driving specifically, the more things that... are that the car that the vehicle does for you, the more opportunity that you have to be distracted.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the less you have to pay attention. Now, there are some really good things. Like, for instance, when your little side mirror lights up when there's someone in your blind spot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's some of those things when we think about safety. But then all the way up to, you know, certain features, all the way up to self-driving cars, that kind of weirds me out a little bit.
Yeah. I would like to see the technology grow a little bit more first. I would like to see, you know, some more, you know, not just tinkering with this, get it perfected. I want it perfect before it hits, you know, the national highways and everything like that. I don't see any harm. We're not in a rush. It's not like we have some emergency that we have to get this out there right now, right away. Let's take our time. We don't have to, just because we have the tech doesn't mean we have to have it all over in society in 5 seconds. Give it some time. There are people that are still catching up with email. You know, give it a chance here. Give it a break. It's okay. We can slow down a little bit in society. We need to do this more with a lot of things, and I don't think tech is a bad idea.
I think The vehicle thing doesn't get me as much though as just artificial intelligence in general. Like when you are talking about something and then all of a sudden it's in all of your ads. Like that part of it kind of creeps me out.
Absolutely.
But it is interesting how fast technology is moving and probably has always moved, and how difficult it is for us to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even saying I want to keep up with it, but I'm just saying like. Everything is obsolete the second it's there. And it's very weird.
It's weird, and it also doesn't give us a chance to appreciate anything.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get a chance to appreciate some of these great moves in technology or some of these really cool things that are happening.
Or even just feel the benefit of it. Like understand it enough to have it benefit you. Yeah, I agree. It is strange.
We're
getting old.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? When I'm talking about these things, for me, I'm not talking necessarily about these companies. A company's going to do what a company's going to do. If they have something new to ditch out there, they're going to get it out there and get their money as soon as they can. I think it's on us as consumers to be like, you know what? I don't need the new this. I can take a break for a little bit. I'll get it eventually. Right now, I'm just going to enjoy what I got. There's certain things.
Well, and I think we'll be hard pressed to find that though, because there's always going to be a consumer base.
You're right.
For new and edgy tech.
I think putting the thought out there maybe gets people to do it a little bit here
or
and there.
Pause a little bit.
Yeah, with certain things. I don't think I completely agree with you. You're not going to, even myself is not going to be able to hold off from certain things. But I do think that I need to, and I do think that we're better off as a society letting this stuff ease in, especially this AI stuff with cars and everything.
Yeah.
I started driving late. I was, later in life when I started driving. And I'm a defensive driver. I keep an eye on the road. I'm looking at what everybody's up to and all these things. I don't know if it would even matter if I had AI in my car. Like, I don't know if it would really... I don't think I would drive any differently. I could never drive one of those self-driving cars. You're never going to catch me in one of those.
I'd be so nervous.
Yeah, no way. No way. I have seen Maximum Overdrive. And yes, it's an 80s movie starring Emilio Estevez that very like five people have seen. But you know the movie. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, what about
I'm just
Kit?
Joking. I'm kidding.
I would like Kit drive
now,
me around.
Kit, now see, there's the other side of it. Yeah, you want Kit. Man, that nice calm voice.
I mean.
Think about you're stuck in traffic and you got Kit.
I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that one. That's different. That's a whole different subject. I take back everything I said. I'm completely hypocritical. We'll take a break. Come back with our Danny Wright story, good stories of the day, local good stories of the day, and plenty more on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Terry and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday out there, everybody. Let's get into some Danny Wright stuff so we can get that palate cleanser and get some good stories of the day in. If I was walking through the woods and saw this, I'd think there had been some sort of glitch in the Matrix. Someone found 500 pounds of cooked pasta next to a river in New Jersey last month.
Oh.
And no one knows where it came from. Nobody has any idea.
Okay, so not to get in the weeds, but like, how do you know it's 500 pounds of pasta?
It's a good question.
I mean, is that like the size of this room? How much pasta?
Well, actually, they got a photo here. I didn't see that at first.
I know, but did they like weigh it?
Yeah.
How
they got that round.
They're scooping it up and serving it?
How they could have gotten that a ballpark for a number, I think that's a good question. And it is just laying there. It's just thrown on the side of the riverbank and everything. Very weird.
I think the fish eat it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. It's possible a restaurant or caterer had a last-minute cancellation or something, but there's still a lot of pasta, and it was just one type. There were piles of, and it wasn't just one type. There were piles of spaghetti, macaroni, and panini as well.
I mean, like, it can't be a prank, right? Because who would go through all that work?
Yeah, yeah. It happened in the town of Old Bridge, New Jersey, just outside of New York. It's making headlines after a woman who recently ran for city council shared the pics. She criticized the mayor for ignoring the mess, and the city did end up removing the pasta.
She did it.
Yeah, right. She also saw the humor in it, and she called it Mission Impossible.
She did it.
Yeah, totally. She's not the only one cracking jokes. Someone online joked that whatever did, it should be sent to a penitentiary. And another person joked that the guy named Al Dente may have been involved.
He might have been. However, I'm sure after it sat out next to the river, it was not al dente anymore. It probably took on more more liquid. So I think she did it.
This is like Clue. This
We're
is a little
a
like Clue.
Clue.
I like this. And yeah, I want to know her.
She doesn't like the mayor. Mm-hmm. She's criticizing the mayor's work.
She had a joke all lined up.
She had
up
a joke ready.
Yeah.
I'm curious if she has a commercial kitchen. If she has a commercial kitchen, it's her.
Oh, yes. Good call. Look, we do these bits to have fun and to show the commonality that we all have and everything like that. And we try to have a very fun and positive show. Every once in a while, I get on my soapbox. And I admit that. And I know that I am quick to. I am what my mother always called me, a rebel without a pause. I have no pause button. And I understand that I do that. But this one, I have to, everybody. All right? This is one of my people's most proud things, pasta. And you're wasting it. You're just throwing it on the side. Like, there's no marinara.
Okay.
There's no bread.
If they came to you and said, I have 500 pounds of cooked pasta, you would say, yeah, I'll take it. I'll eat it.
You know what? My dad would. Like, I guarantee you my dad would.
500 pounds.
I promise you, my father would not turn that down.
And it would only be good for, like, a week tops.
He'd figure something out. I'm not saying he'd use it all, but he would go down trying. He would like look like a big old like meatball himself.
Like death by rotini.
Yes, and he would keep trying. He'd be like, it's free pasta, Jimmy. What are you talking about?
It's feel like the hot dog eating contest.
I'd be right there helping him. I'd be right there. You know, like,
would you actually like use a fork, or would you just put your face?
At this point, you're right. You know what? What are you doing? Why dirty a fork? Just go ahead and get jump on it. No. I could not do any of this. I want so badly to know where this came from and the story of this. And at the same time, I love the idea of not knowing and just the mystery and letting our imaginations just run wild this one.
Because it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It really will not harm the environment. I mean, it would get gross, like if it just sat there, right, and rotted, whatever. But I mean, it's not... It's not going to hurt anybody.
Just doing a little homework on it. The mayor, part of the reason the mayor wasn't apt to clean it up right away was that there were animals eating it, and that there were their DNR, their local DNR, said that it was safe for most of the animals of that area.
Yeah.
I think to your point there, you don't want it in the water, of course. Fish are notorious for choking on pasta. It's you don't want that. I'm joking. I don't know.
If it did get in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems kind of harmless.
It does.
I'm not encouraging it. Once, one and done, right? Like the big story hit.
Well, that's it. You know, the joke's already been done. You can't do it again.
It was her.
I'm leaning that way, yes.
One of her pasta helpers is going to come clean at some point.
So somebody's coming forward with
What do you transport that in? Like in the back of your vehicle trailer?
Yeah.
Or is it all in like 18-gallon totes? You know, you carry it out there and dump it.
And it's all spread out along the river, the bank. So it was like proportionately. So it almost looks like it was purposely done or something like that. It is a funny story.
Like a bulldozer or an end loader?
Well, here's the thing about this too, though. I don't understand what the problem is with the cleanup. You just put a fork in there and twirl around for a little while, and you got it all.
Twirl and twirl.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh,
it's easy. That ain't right. That ain't right. That's a waste of good pasta.
Yes,
that ain't right.
But it's a good humor that ain't right compared to that ain't right.
Very, very true. We take a look at some good stories of the day, and some of that is our original content over the weekend. Encourage you to support these shows, spread the word about these shows, and if you miss them, we got them on podcast. Everything is streaming 24/7 at civicmedia.us. Of course, it kicks off Saturday mornings with this Sunshine Polka Show at 7. Join us for that, the greatest polka show of all time. Tim Humboldt does an amazing job with that show, and we appreciate Tim's great work on that. That's Saturdays at 7 in the morning, and then, of course, on 1 on Sunday. Saturday also features Over the Back Fence from 11 to noon. Join Seth for that show. He does a great job with it. Bring him your items looking for, items you want to sell. It is garage sale season. Bring them to us.
It is garage sale season.
We want to hear
from you. I've been seeing some like crazy packed streets.
Yes. Yeah. Call up, tell Seth about all of those things and say hi. And on Sundays, we've got two great shows back-to-back for you. Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8. Be sure to catch that show. Seth's theme this week, Tonight. I like that. I like that, the theme of that. He's going to have a lot of fun with that one. That show has been really rising up, too. Like, we've been enjoying that. So make sure to support that show and take a listen to Seth Faces the Music, 6 to 8 this Sunday, every Sunday. Right after that, Director's Cut. This passion project of mine that is not mine anymore. Seth is a part of it. Connie is a part of it. This community is a part of it. And I love that. I could not be prouder of that part of this. This week, we have episode 2 of The Lizards. The first episode, we were able to put a focus on the band and the guys as individuals. This one is going to put a focus on the last two albums, the connection they have, the memory of Jeff Goss, and just really listening to the guys and having them play for us and everything. They invited us to the studio. I've done a lot of things in my 20-plus year in radio. It's easily top 10 for me moments in
that's
radio.
Awesome.
What happened over the last Wednesday and everything. I want to say a gigantic thank you and appreciation to Milo, to Mark, to Jamie, to Travis, to Ben, to these guys that have done so much for us in this community and continue to. How often over the years have you seen the Lizards headlining something?
Everywhere
and stuff, and it's a nonprofit event or something like that. Like, don't tell me they haven't put back into this community and entertained us for days. Take a listen to Director's Cut this Sunday. If you missed the episode 1, it's okay. We have a previously on, and I'm joking. You can go ahead and listen to it. It's on podcast and everything. You can listen to the second one without listening to the first. You're perfectly fine. And of course, I know we only got 30 seconds, Terry, but we want to encourage people to head to the United Way's website, uwswac.org. Find out about all the great things you guys are doing over there.
Absolutely. Get over there and register for Stuff the Bus. I think that's the big one, is, you know, getting registered for school supplies. And then you can also sign up for United We Can if you want to build a food sculpture.
Yeah, be sure to do that, everybody. We want to encourage you to do that. There is a lot of great things at the United Way going on. You got the great book giveaway going on. You got that.
Coming up in June.
I want to make sure that you bookmark that, everybody. Look at your calendar, see when you got some dates open. There's a lot of great places you can read to these kids, and it's so much fun, so impactful to them. And as you mentioned, United We Can, get a team together and be a part of that. Everybody can bring a non-perishable food item to that rafter game and cheer on the rafters as they win that game, which they will, and they're looking forward to it. Again, uwswac.org is the website to go to. And I did want to touch on just one other local thing here, because we told people about register stuff the desk, right?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure to do that again, uwswac.org. We had these the people from the Rapids Flyball in with us this week, and had a good time talking with them. That is going on starting today, Rapids Flyball Frenzy, today, tomorrow, and the 7th. It's an ultimate relay racing for dogs. Teams from all over the upper Midwest get together. It all happens at the Southwood County Rec Center, one of our favorite places. It's free admission, free parking, free barking, awesome raffle. It's a fun event. Go ahead and have fun and support this one. If you're interested in more information, contact Lori at 715-459-2091, 459-2091. Hope it's a successful event. Enjoy, everybody.
Does the flyer say free barking, or you threw that in?
It does. The flyer says it.
Oh, okay.
The flyer says it.
I was like, whoa.
That is a James joke,
like,
though.
Right on his feet, man.
No, I don't want to take credit for that. That's all them. Delta just did its 12th annual Delta Jet Drag to raise money for American Cancer Society. Teams of Delta employees took turns dragging a 250,000-pound jumbo jet 25 feet at a time. They raised over $1 million for cancer research.
That's cool.
Yeah. Four sisters in England are in the news because they're all pregnant at the same time. They say it's just a coincidence. They did not plan it. The youngest sister is 24 and the oldest is 41. They're both due later this year. The two middle sisters are further along and both due this month. That's kind of cool.
That's cool. And cousins are the best.
Yeah, agreed. And speaking of the UK, a 92-year-old woman named Betty Richardson's bucket list includes seeing a strip show, so her retirement home made it happen. They sent her and her friends to a male review. The place they went to said that they gave her the, quote, full VIP experience.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you don't get to ask what the wish is. You just get to make it. You just get to grant it.
Hey, you know what? She could have just closeted that wish
absolutely,
for that.
I mean, absolutely.
If she's comfortable with it, yeah, fine.
That's all that matters. More power
that
to
her. That is so funny.
That is pretty darn funny. That is a pretty funny story. That is a great way to wrap up the show for the week. I want to thank the greatest listeners in radio, every one of you out there. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you for supporting local, for helping us keep being a local radio station and doing what we do. Our advertisers, our listeners, we love what we do. We appreciate you helping us do that. Thanks to all the guests we had this week. And a shout out to you, Terry. Thanks so much for the time.
You bet.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Morning Show. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.